On today's show, we're going to talk about the CFP a little bit, what happened in the quarterfinals. We're going to talk about some bowl games and the CFP snubs, I guess you could call them. But at this point, are they really snubs? We got a lot to discuss.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Can you believe it? It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man, a superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
All right, let's get to it. It's Winning Cures Everything, a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at Gary WCE. Oh, yes. And today is the Thursday, January 2nd edition of the show. We still have another college football playoff game that we're going to talk about after the game today. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But we had three of them in the last 2 days, one on New Year's Eve. We had two yesterday. And, of course, because of the terrible circumstances down in New Orleans, the Sugar Bowl has been postponed to later today. And how convenient that ESPN gets two ball games today. Now, I'm sure that they would have much rather had it on, you know, New Year's Day, which is when the Sugar Bowl is supposed to be happening. But alas, it will be on January 2nd when a lot of people will be at work. Game kicks off at 3 p.m. Central Time, and there's going to be a lot of people using their YouTube TV logins to be able to watch on their office PCs, trying to keep up with what's going on in the game. And then, hey, ESPN Radio and the Varsity Network app and everything else, they are going to be getting a ton of traffic, probably around 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Central. And we'll see what happens. So, good gracious. A lot has gone on. It's been a wild holiday. Hopefully everybody is ready to get back into the swing of things. I know that I am currently. I am ready to rock and roll. And hopefully you are all as well. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's talk about some of the stuff that happened. We'll start off with New Year's Eve. We'll start off with the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State wins 31-14 over Boise State. And Boise outgained Penn State in this game. Like, they had, you know, more plays. They had more yards. Now, Penn State had a better yards per play game. But this was an interesting ball game. You know, Abdul Carter goes out in this game, and it looked like it shifted a whole lot of stuff for that Penn State defense. I did not think that he would be as much of an impact in a game like this as he was, but it certainly changed the way that they tried to attack the Boise State offense. Maddox Mattson had a pretty good ball game. Pretty good. He was all right. I was pretty impressed with Boise. There were some mistakes that the Broncos made. And I don't know if some of it was rust or I'll tell you this. The teams that all had the byes, all of them came out of the gate not great. They did not look good starting out the ballgame. And all of them got out to big deficits. Boise kind of fought their way back into it. Arizona State certainly fought their way back into it. Oregon, you can't get in a hole against that Ohio State team. But we'll talk about that here in a minute. So, yeah, Abdul Carter going out, that certainly changed things for Penn State. That being said, there was still a massive talent gap at the line of scrimmage, especially when Penn State was on offense. I was very interested in, or intrigued, I guess would be the right word, by what Penn State was doing with their offensive play calling. I know that there were some really good throws from Drew Aller. You know, Tyler Warren made some outstanding catches, all that kind of stuff, right? But when they were running Allen and Singleton, I mean, 5.2 yards per carry on average, and they ran the ball quite a bit. I think they ran it over 40 times, and they only threw it like 25 times. But, I mean, still, it probably should have been closer to like 45 or 50 to like 15 to 20 passes. I know that you want to be a balanced offense. I get that. And maybe they just realized that, like, it doesn't matter, and they were going to be fine anyway. So why not, you know, make sure that the offense is clicking, because they certainly didn't have to do anything in the game against SMU. But it was very interesting to me that they did not just run it downhill the entire time, because there was really no push back from Boise for the most part. So Penn State ran for over 200 yards. I think it was like 217. Boise couldn't get anything going with Ashton Jeanty, and that's not terribly surprising, because again, massive talent gap even without Abdul Carter. But Madsen, I thought, was pretty good at quarterback. He found some of his receivers. They certainly showed that they could put up a fight against a team like that. And so you're not expecting these G5 teams to get very far in a playoff like this. I think Boise against Indiana would have been like your 8-9 game if this thing had been seeded correctly. And I think that would have been just fine. Like, that would have been a really fun matchup to see. Because I do think it's a little bit different. And, I mean, maybe Indiana kills them. I don't know. But, yeah, that was interesting. The Peach Bowl. Let's talk about that. Texas 39, Arizona State 31. This one went to double overtime, and this was a 24-8 ball game. Now, I talked a lot on X about hindsight bias, because you see the result of a game, and then you're like, well, of course, it was always going to be like this, because da da da, and you know. So when you look at this and you see 24-8, and the fact that Texas scored a touchdown to go up 23-8. I had texted Parker and was like, anybody else find it odd that they didn't go for two there to make it a 3-score game as opposed to a 2-score game? Because that is a huge difference. There's not a lot of time left in this ball game. Now, there ended up being way more possessions in that fourth quarter than I thought there would be, which, you know, you're going to get if Quinn Ewers throws an interception down the field right after Arizona State scores, right? So that's a huge part of this. Arizona State ran 97 plays on offense. Texas only ran 60. And that includes the two overtimes. I mean, that was wild to me. It felt like Arizona State had the ball the entire game. Certainly most of the third quarter. So by the time Texas had that lead in the fourth quarter, their defense was exhausted. I mean, they were done. So I was kind of shocked that, you know, Sark didn't try and go. And Parker did mention something to me. He said, you know, if you go for two and you don't get it, you know, you don't think that Arizona State is absolutely gonna go for two to try and win it if they are put in that position? He's like, well, yeah. I mean, they might. But what are the odds of, you know, I thought that the benefit outweighed the negatives. That's what I thought. So going up, you know, 25-8, I think made it a completely different ball game. And instead it was 24-8, and we ended up with, you know, a double overtime game that, you know, you get to a certain point. Texas had 4th and 13, and they were down by 7 points. So they had to have a touchdown, 4th and 13, and they hit Matthew Golden in the back of the end zone. Absolutely perfect pass. He gets past the defense, which I was a bit shocked. Just a little bit shocked that they were able to get by that defense and be so wide open. But to be in that position where Texas was at 39-31 and end up with a a game-sealing interception at the end of it. To get there, they had to score on three consecutive plays. So they score the touchdown on 4th and 13 to tie it back up and go to a second overtime. They throw a touchdown pass to Gunnar Helm on the first play of the second overtime, and then they hit their two-point conversion. So that immediately puts Arizona State behind the eight ball, and that's, you want to talk about shell-shocked. I mean, you're up by seven, you've got 4th and 13, you're about to win this ball game, and then Texas comes out and bang, 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 three straight plays, and all of a sudden you're down by eight, and you got to figure out something to do now. That was as hot of a streak as you could get for Sark in that offense. I mean, they just started clicking, and there was nothing Arizona State can do on defense. So that defense had fought against Texas all day. Levitt and Scataboo are absolute dogs. Absolute dogs. They were, you know, it took a while for them to get clicking. They were able to move the ball quite a bit, couldn't kick field goals, couldn't get the ball in the end zone, could not finish drives for the longest time. And then in that fourth quarter, they found a way to come back and make one hell of an ending of a ball game. Because it didn't seem like it was going to be much of a ball game for much of it. I mean, this was, what, 17-3 at the half? It flipped on a dime. It was very, very entertaining and an incredible ball game. It was a lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. The fake punt to the big guy in the fourth quarter that got them down the field. I mean, that was, or no, I guess that was in the third quarter. That's who remembers when it is, but that is one of the all-time calls. I mean, you're looking at 4th and 9, 4th and 10, whatever it was, from, you know, really their own 20-yard line, and you had to have something because you were about to go down big. Yeah, that was a huge, huge spot. So, cheers to them for making one hell of a game of it. Let's see. The Texas defense, for the most part, was really, really good. Now, Arizona State did outgain them like 500 yards to 375, 525 to 375. It was like a 150-yard advantage for Arizona State. But when you can't finish the drives, you know, that's how you end up with the situation that you're in. I was kind of surprised that Texas didn't use Isaiah Bond any. You know, like, he was in, but they focused on Matthew Golden and Gunnar Helm. So they did what they needed to do, and now they are, boy, do they have a test coming up. I mean, you get past this next one. And the fact that they're playing at home, Texas in Dallas, I know it's not in Austin, but that is going to be like a 70-30 Texas split? I mean, that's going to be nuts.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
The Rose Bowl. Ohio State 41, Oregon 21, and it wasn't that close. Like, this was a 34-0 ball game late in the second quarter, and Ohio State did not have to do anything else. I got really worried. I had the over in this. On the BetUS show, I had over 55.5. My personal bet was over 54.5. But, you know, they get up 34-0, and it didn't look like Oregon was going to be able to do anything on offense. And I thought, man, if they're up 34-0, they may just sit on this thing. They may just squash it. And they did for the most part. Like, they just kind of ran the ball, didn't put much else out there for anybody to see. It was, you know, not at all what I expected out of the game. Now, I will say this. I did think that Ohio State was the better football team. But this is such an interesting situation that we've got from Ohio State at this point, because this is still the same team that didn't look great against Penn State, did not look great against Nebraska, lost at home to Michigan, you know, lost on the road to Oregon early in the year. Just, you know, never really showed up. But this is the kind of roster that they've had the entire time. They could have been doing this basically all year. And it's like against Michigan, they thought they were going to play bully ball. And there was something to the game plan that Michigan laid out where they were almost – they were kind of daring Ohio State to run. So Ohio State tried to run, and they couldn't do it. But they didn't really do a whole lot with those receivers. Those receivers are complete backbreakers. I mean, they are just unbelievable. Ohio State, yardage-wise, outgained Oregon 500 yards to 276. Oregon had negative 23 rushing yards. Now, you know, James being injured certainly hurt things. That's your 1,200-plus yard running back. So him going out early did not help things, but I don't think it would have mattered. Like, I don't think that the running back was going to make any kind of a difference here, because that Ohio State defensive line was otherworldly. They were unbelievable. So I was not shocked that they were able to play so well, just shocked that Oregon didn't put up much of a fight in this. Jeremiah Smith is absolutely absurd. He is so good. But really, the star of this game, the MVP of this game, was that entire Buckeye defensive line. That is what set the pace for the game, because it allowed Ohio State to take shots. They didn't have to worry about playing control. They didn't have none of that. They were able to take shots against that Oregon defense. And it's not like Oregon's got a bad defense. Like, their secondary is good. But there is not a secondary on the planet that can deal with Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka and Tate and all. I mean, it's too many good wide receivers. So Ohio State, like, this is their tournament to win. Like, I don't think there's another team left in the field that can deal with them. Now, Texas has the talent to be able to do it, but Texas is also dealing with a lot of injuries as well. But Ohio State just right out of the gate, 34-0 with, like, 7 minutes left in the second quarter. I mean, it was just an absolute beating of epic proportions. So cheers to Ohio State for getting that done. So now you have Ohio State against Texas in the Cotton Bowl, and in the Orange Bowl you have Penn State against either Georgia or Notre Dame, which will be played later today, and it'll be played right before the Ole Miss-Duke game. And Ole Miss, another one of those potential CFP teams that did not quite make it. Hey, by the way, Ohio State and Texas, I mean, that's like ESPN's dream, right? You get two of the biggest brands of all time, both of them playing well, and you've got them in a semifinal game, like standalone spot on January 9th. I mean, that is, or January 10th, whatever it is. Just an incredible spot. And there are going to be so many eyeballs on that game. So cheers to ESPN for, I would imagine, getting what they hoped for. This is exactly what they were looking for when they did the playoff. And yeah, like, not every game is going to do a bunch of eyeballs. I would bet that those games yesterday did a bunch. I would bet that the Fiesta Bowl on New Year's Eve did a bunch, because they did the smart thing and actually pushed it up a little bit, so the game was over in plenty of time for people to go out and do whatever they wanted to do for New Year's. So you didn't have to compete with a bunch of other stuff. So I know, I believe that the way that it was set up in the past, at one point, Ohio State and Georgia played on New Year's Eve, and the game ended like right at midnight. So right at New Year's, and you know that you don't want to be competing with that. The playoff snubs. Let's talk about some of the bowl games that happened. And we're not going to spend long on this, but Miami lost in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I haven't gotten to talk about that here yet. The Pop-Tarts Bowl does it right. They are awesome. Cam Ward came out, looked good, and then sat out the second half of that game. And it doesn't bother me that much that he sat out. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, and maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just is what it is. But, you know, the fact that he came out and played at all is fine. He didn't have to. There are some people that are worked up because Cam Ward took a bunch of money to go play at Miami. But the truth of the matter is this. Miami needed to figure out what they had in their backup, Emory Williams. And if you didn't make it to the CFP, what does the bowl game matter? You know, you already got 10 wins. You know, does it make a difference if you go 11-2 versus 10-3? Probably not really. So it didn't really bother me that much that Cam Ward didn't play the second half. It is kind of goofy that these other players go out and they are fighting and trying to get a win and all that. But, you know, it didn't really bother me all that much. But Miami, they lose. So they took a third loss. South Carolina loses to Illinois. Illinois gets to 10 wins, so 10-3 Illinois, 9-4 South Carolina. And South Carolina did have quite a few guys that sat out this one because, you know, of course. Alabama, they lost to Michigan 19-13. And there is something about playing in that stadium that is just not good for Alabama. That's 2 years in a row they played at South Florida last year. Now they play Michigan in Raymond James. And, you know, I think they scored 17 points against South Florida last year in that stadium. The offense was putrid. Now, Jalen Milroe didn't play in that one. But Milroe did play in this one, and boy, three first-quarter turnovers turn into, what, 13 points. I mean, it was ridiculous. Alabama did not look good, and the offense couldn't get anything going. I mean, they were slipping all over the place. There was a huge rainstorm. That's the last two games there have been huge rainstorms, and that sucks. So there's no real excuse because Alabama had more of their players than Michigan had. Michigan game plan was perfect. You get pressure on Milroe, and he panics, and there is nothing. It doesn't matter that it's backups coming at him. I mean, it was a disaster. You know, and the game plan was a little weird because once you realize that, oh no, Milroe he's in a bad way today, at that point, I would think that you would change things up, but wasn't much of a change up. That interesting Twitter videos out there, or X video, excuse me, showing, and there's been talk about this, but Milroe tips what the play is going to be by the way that he stands in the pocket. I found that interesting. And you go back and watch a little bit, and yeah, if his legs are, if he's got like his left leg behind him when he's lined up taking the snap, then that's going to be a pass. If his legs are square, then it's going to be a run. I found that interesting because it did seem like, and it wasn't just Michigan. I mean, Oklahoma did the same thing. Auburn did the same thing a lot. It was very easy to see that, yeah, when he lines up like that, you know what the play is going to be. Now, it doesn't always mean that you can stop it. But if you know what's coming beforehand, it makes it real easy to be able to try and defend. So, but yes, Bama, South Carolina, and Miami all lose. Those were the next ones up to get into the playoff. And honestly, it probably should have been BYU. Like, the more you look at it, the Big 12 was good, and everybody just treated that like a secondhand conference, much the same way that they probably should have been looking at the ACC. The ACC should have been the secondhand conference. But, alas, I think ACC's got some bigger names, so they kind of get the benefit of the doubt, and nobody really looked at it that way for whatever reason. I found that interesting, very interesting. Last thing we'll hit on, Clemson fired their defensive coordinator yesterday, Wes Goodwin. And it kind of makes sense. Now, Dabo doesn't exactly do a ton of – he doesn't change coordinators or staff members just all willy-nilly, right? This is not, you know, something's weird, we need to change something. Clemson's defense was not good this year. Like, it normally – and they've got the talent to be good. But they just were not good, especially in certain spots. I mean, Texas being able to put up 38 points on them and run them for 300 yards when – I mean, they couldn't run on Arizona State. They couldn't run on anybody for the most part all year. And Clemson just let them go up and down the field, and that was interesting. So, but they fired the defense coordinator, and it appears, at least some of the early reporting, has got Tennessee defense coordinator Tim Banks as the next potential guy. And there's some ties there, but... You know, I found it curious because it's not like Tennessee's defense was otherworldly, especially when they played against better competition, right? But this year, there wasn't a lot of better competition for them to play against. And I guess for Clemson, they rarely are going to be playing better competition, right? Their non-conference slate is really what gets them where they need to go. And, you know... This year, they played three SEC teams. They lost all three of them. It is what it is. If you're able to go through an easy slate in the ACC and you've got a defense that's good enough to stop those teams, then you're all right. Now, Clemson obviously wants to be able to get back to playoff contention, and they'll get there. But, yeah, found it interesting. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. And we still got games to discuss. Don't forget about TicketSmarter. If you want tickets to any of these playoff games, concerts coming up, all that kind of stuff, TicketSmarter.com. Use the promo code WCE10 to get $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 is going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. Think smarter with TicketSmarter. And don't forget about GhostSleeves. GhostSleeves.com/WCE. Use that promo code WCE. You're going to get 15% off the best kinesiology technology on the market. It is the best compression sleeves out there, compression shirts, socks, etc. And they got like this cooling gel that's going to help you out. There's a lot of fun stuff with Ghost Sleeves as well. With that said, oh, don't forget about bettingcfb.com. You can help me out because I am an independent creator, content creator, whatever you want to call it. I do all of this stuff by myself. So, I would appreciate the help, for sure. But bettingcfb.com, $5 a month, $50 for the year on that. And, yeah, if you haven't already, subscribe to the pod, leave a nice 5-star review. We would certainly appreciate that. Okay, I think we're good. Yeah, take care of you. Oh, don't forget about the BetUS College Football Show. Yeah, we're still rolling. We're still doing stuff over there. So subscribe on YouTube for that. Or you can check out the BetUS Football Show on your favorite podcast app. All right, that is going to wrap things up. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, @GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.